Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths, and sometimes heights, to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I overslept. Damn rooster didn't crow.
It's time for Early Break, sponsored by Midwest Bank. Live from Lincoln, America, here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I'm wrong, but I'm not.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
If I were a feral cat.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
You get one team. Mine's the Houston Oilers. I'm not the Texans, and I'm not the Titans, so Bill, I'm out.
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 2 on a Friday. Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Hour 2 is always sponsored by our friends at Midwest Bank. Member FDIC. Location South Lincoln at 27th and Jamie Lane, also at 70th and Pioneers. And Shindaddy's been off all week.
Bill, he's still off.
He's off today.
That's one of the things you learn in the banking world. When you take vacations, they have to be at long extended. There's no like in and outs. The pop-in and type of thing. That's just kind of the way it works in banking world. So Shindaddy is still off.
When's he back on?
He'll be back on Monday. He'll be back to work on
Thank
Monday.
God.
I was with him, not the entire week, but he was there a day shorter than us. But
he was there.
We didn't know if he went to Canada.
Oh, that's who I bunked with.
I did not.
Yeah, I bunked with Shindy.
I told Sip I wasn't. I knew that Randy was going. I knew Duke was there. I did not know that Shindaddy was going.
He was there.
You guys bunked together?
Yeah, with the... we got lucky. We each had our own room in the cabin, which is nice of that. Then the other two Schindler boys, Skyler and Bo, were there.
Oh, the Shindies were all there.
Somebody called Bo Mo. And so now his name will be Mo forever.
Uh-oh. Yes. Well, who called him Mo?
Just a random friend. A person goes, wait, what's your name? He goes, Bo. Mo?
Yep. Yeah.
He said it like twice. So
he knows now.
So now he'll be Mo.
He's Mo. Lot.
On any fishing trips, he will be Mo for the rest of his life.
Well,
yes.
Better to have a...
Yeah, so
that's not a bad nickname, though. Yes. It could be a lot worse than that.
Yeah, it's a good nickname. So, yeah, good name.
I'm glad it was Shindaddy had a good time in Canada, and he's back on Monday.
Yes.
But thanks, Midwest Bank, for sponsoring Hour 2. We are joined via StreamYard by our friend, Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports. Schaefer, good morning. Media days are a wrap. Didn't you tell me in the past you don't like media days? Is that true for you, Mike?
Yeah, that is, that's still true. Even here today, it's largely, I just don't know that I see a ton of value in having, the 15-minute open podium session. I shouldn't say open podium, but the 15-minute session where the coach is at the podium and the only people asking questions are from Reddit, college football, or other random entities. And then you get a local person or two, and then you go to the side session and it's largely just all the local reporters. Though this time there was some Ohio State intrigue about Dylan Raiola that I actually found kind of interesting when listening back through that audio. But it's just a lot of the local people. So I'm not saying that they shouldn't have like a media day thing. I just don't know that it needs to be in another city when it's just largely the same people covering you. I think Sippel has noticed this as well. At least with the Husker 24/7 audience, they're not really interested in what Brett Bielema has to say beyond just general, like very general overtones. Like there's not a readership base that's super fired up about Mike Locksley or his comment of throwing snakes into the crib with babies. And that's his quarterback room for whatever reason. Never heard that analogy before, but I don't think that there's like a ton of reason for the continuation of what used to be a conference-wide celebration that really it's just now all the local people going thousands of miles to cover the same coach that they could cover at the stadium if they just have a media session there. I don't think I'm really that far off base on this one.
No, you're not.
Sometimes I'm a little curmudgeon-y for some people, but I don't even know that this is a curmudgeon thing. It just strikes me as wholly unnecessary. I don't think there's a big reason to do it other than to try to control the message for college football for 3 days. I mean, that's basically what it is.
And you've been to Vegas several times, right?
Yeah. I mean, I haven't been in a little while, but I basically feel like I set up shop in McCormick Place in Chicago for a nice 7 year stretch.
Pretty much. Then went to Indy, now Vegas. And it just seemed like I was not there, but it seemed like it was lost in the shuffle. You were there, Sip. You said yourself on the air on Thursday that you had fun. You enjoyed it.
I liked Vegas.
But yeah, the signage of media days was like minimal to none. Someone said they were staying in Mandalay Bay, didn't know that media days was going on until they saw a random football
player. You wouldn't have known.
And talked to them. There was no indication at all in Vegas that media days was happening there. And this is a conference that should
there
be
was
very proud
some
of.
Indication.
Back-to-back national titles as well.
Jake, there was some indication.
On the national radio yesterday, they mentioned that maybe they could at least maybe put some up on like on maybe their not billboard, but their electronic board or something. They said that Vegas is the people on the national show said they did not. No one had any idea it was going on.
No, we were walking through Mandalay Bay, and at one point I said to Sean, "Are we in the right place?" Because I didn't see any. Then you did see a few signs
as you got to the event.
As you got right to the event. As you entered
the
door.
You're here. Turn right. This is the room.
If you stopped random people and just asked them,
they would not.
Any idea where the Big Ten media is at?
There's no idea.
What are you talking about?
If you asked Mandalay Bay employees,
they wouldn't have known. They would have no idea.
Probably one of those really weird.
Talking to a blackjack dealer real quick. Hey, listen, we're heading over to where do we head to?
Where's that?
Had no idea what's going on. Who's here?
Yeah, they'd be. Yeah, no, it was weird as odd that way.
Schaefer, Matt Rhule spoke Tuesday as well as the other Huskers there in Vegas, and he's Matt Rhule obviously is a great speaker. He never really messes up an appearance. He's never really totally divisive when he talks. I thought he had a good appearance, but in terms of it seemed like he seems pretty confident this team can get over the hump this year. What was your overall thought on the message from Matt Rhule from his podium session on Tuesday?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was just a continued sort of belief in what they've been building and that they've. He called himself an incrementalist, which I don't know if that's the first time he's done that, but it stood out to me for whatever reason this time. And essentially what he means is he feels like they continued to build just step by step and continued to show growth. And he had the remark that I think was kind of important to at least acknowledge about how last year they lost a bunch of close games. And when he went and looked back, the common factor was they just weren't good enough. They just didn't do enough in those situations. You know, they lost those close games, but they didn't play so well that it was that they were robbed of a win or anything. If there was still enough growth that can happen in there. And he felt like they turned a corner against Boston College. So if that's the case, then we should be able to see that this season, the first time it's close and late and they have to make plays to sustain a drive to win a game or make plays to get off the field and win a game defensively. I mean, they've had opportunities both ways each of the last few seasons and haven't necessarily done it. So I thought that was at least good to see him acknowledge it, and just a lot of talk of ownership and accountability and his belief that the players feel like this is their program. And because of that, Nebraska should be able to take a step forward. I mean, it's always going to sound good at media days, because if it doesn't, then you're probably doing it wrong. But at the same time, I mean, it's sort of where we expect the program to be in the third year for a coach who's had at least two stops where there's been a ton of success on the third year. So now we just need to see it on the football field.
Don't mind Mike Schaefer. Schaefer, fall camp begins next week. And it's a question that we've had all offseason, and rightfully so, with the losses of Ty Robinson, Nash Huttmacher, Jamari Butler, and more, is the defensive line. I know that you've been very high on Riley Van Poppel. I like him as well, and Keona Davis and others. But as we approach fall camp on Monday, what do you have for optimism for that specific unit on the defense? And is that still your biggest concern you have on this team?
it is, I don't know if it's the biggest concern. I'd have to like sit and really weigh out all of my concerns and see which one's the heaviest, but it is, it's certainly up there. And it's a concern in that a lot of these guys haven't been asked to play the sort of critical roles that they're going to be asked to play. I mean, they've been rotational, or they've been, I don't want to use the word stopgap, but they're in there to take away some of the snaps, to allow Ty Robinson to take a breather, or to allow Jamari Butler to miss a week, or whatever it is. And so they're, Nebraska's replacing a ton of experience up front. It's not just, you know, there's James Williams, there's MJ Sherman. There's just a lot of snaps that have to be replaced by guys that played pretty competent football. And I think if the optimism case is that if you are high on Riley Van Poppel and Keona Davis, there's a ton of experience, and I should say experience. There's a lot of snaps there. They played a fair amount of football, but they haven't been put in situations where they're starters. Yet those coaches, obviously, when they were freshmen, saw the type of player that can build into being a starter in the Big Ten. And so if they can achieve the ability to play at a high level early and maintain that, be able to handle a bunch of snaps, then Nebraska might just be fine along the defensive line. I think I'm a little concerned about who takes over at nose tackle. Nash Hutmaker did a great job the last couple seasons. Is it going to be Riley Van Poppel? Does Elijah Judy spend a lot of time there? Does Sua Lafotu get healthy, and can he play there? What does that defensive tackle picture look like? Can Cam Lenhart come back and be a little bit more like he was his freshman year, and he disappeared a little his sophomore year? So there's a lot of really intriguing things happening with that defensive line. You also have a new defensive line coach, and so we have to see what that sort of looks like. But the thing that I sort of lean on, if again, you're looking for optimism, Matt Rhule's never really had a bad defensive line. I mean, he's spent a lot of time in his career with a lot of good defensive line players, good defensive line teams, teams where the breakout star has come from the defensive line. He's coached the defensive line. It clearly means a lot to him. So he hasn't really had a bad one. And so I don't know that that's going to start this year with the collection of talent they have. They might be uneven or inconsistent, but I think when they're on, you're going to see why there's a lot of, you know, real potential in that group.
What is the strength of the defense?
Did you say what's the strength of the defense?
Yes.
Man, I don't know. It's sort of a tough question, because there's so many different moving pieces at each level. I mean, I hesitate to say that it's the middle level of the defense, because there's just enough newness there. I don't know that it's quite the pass rush at this point, because you lost James Williams and Ty Robinson, and you're going to have to, and Jamari Butler, you're going to have to replace those sacks. I guess you look towards the defensive back room, specifically with Deshaun Singleton coming back and Marquise Buford, and you're going to have some veterans in that regard. But I don't know that there's a clear cut strength of Nebraska's defense at this point. I think there's a lot of pieces that are intriguing, but we sort of have to see how it all comes together. And it's going to look different with John Butler calling things than with Tony White.
What would you say the strength of the offense is?
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door. No shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required. Just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
I mean, I I believe that the strength of the offense is going to end up being that the offensive line is capable of helping you both in pass protection and in the running game. I think the offensive line is poised to have a pretty good year. And that I just kind of like how it's come together. I like what I heard this spring. I'd sort of have come all the way around to where I believe in that group, even if there's some questions about who's going to end up at right tackle. I love that interior picture right now with Lutosky, Evans, Spindler up the middle. You know, Elijah Pritchett, we're going to learn a lot about as he plays left tackle in the Big Ten, but it sounds like he had a good spring as well. But I feel a little better about the offensive line than I would have expected at this point. So in conjunction with that, I think they're going to be able to move the ball with Emmett Johnson too. So those are sort of where I'm at, with the offense in terms of strength.
Now, again, we've had a question all offseason, Schaefer, about Carter Nelson and his health going forward. And Mac Markway also, guy we haven't seen at Nebraska so far. It seemed like there's optimism for Matt Rhule at Media Days and Carter Nelson's health. I mean, are you right now feeling like we will see Carter Nelson not just in fall camp, but play as soon as week one for Nebraska this year?
Yeah, I'm not sure we'll see him in week one. I think there's sort of always been optimism we'll see him at some point in the fall, and they can kind of slowly try to bring him into it because they have Luke Lindenmeyer, they have Heinrich Harburg. So there's options already at tight end. They've certainly brought in some other wide receivers so they don't have to go super deep at the position. And I think you can kind of let him play into where his health is at. I mean, if he's ready to go and can help you right away and against Cincinnati, then sure. But I just don't know that there's a necessitation to rush this thing because I think they like what they have with Lindenmeyer and with Harbor.
What's your favorite activity in Vegas?
Mine?
Yeah.
Losing money, hand over fist.
What do you do?
Honestly, and this is probably just because I'm a fat person too, but
okay,
the
easy
food
now.
In Vegas easy. Is incredible. I mean, the
food is incredible.
We're not shaming
food,
people like, here, Schaefer. Come
it is,
on now.
It is hard to find, you know, bad meals in these places. So I've had some really, really good meals and hit some good spots there. And so it's become a real like food town. I mean, I love every aspect of Vegas. Like I am a Vegas person. But I was dumbfounded why the Big Ten put Media Days there.
Okay.
Like there's no real connection to me. About the Big Ten and Vegas.
So it's been in Chicago. You didn't like it there. Indianapolis was on the football field. I thought that was pretty cool. Vegas is lost in the – if you were inclined, Schaefer, to go back to Media Days, and I know you don't like the format, but if there was a place it was that would draw you in, is there a place that you would travel to that makes sense for the Big Ten Conference and makes sense for you to partake in a trip to Media Days?
Yeah, I mean, like – there's really not a standout. This makes sense for everybody because the conference is so spread out. So I sort of understand, you know, if they're going to go west, they do Vegas instead of LA or Eugene or Seattle. So I sort of understand that idea of it.
Seattle,
I guess. I mean, Chicago and Indianapolis make as much
Corvallis.
Sense.
Corvallis. You do it in Corvallis.
Let's take it to Oregon State. Sure, why not? Yeah.
Just check in on Trent Bray and see how things are going up.
Yes,
there.
We can do that.
Well, come on, Schaefer. Now, where would you put it? That's the question. Where would you put it?
I think it makes the most sense, unfortunately, because I don't love it at McCormick Place. But I guess if they can find somewhere else in Chicago, that's the easiest in terms of flying in and out, I think, for people.
Chicago makes the most sense.
That's what Sean
said. We just don't like it.
Chicago makes the most sense.
Know, well, when it's at McCormick Place, you feel like you're in another country to start with. Because you're not really near anything.
No.
You know, they had it downtown a couple times.
Yeah, it was good.
Hilton or, some of those locations. That's been fine.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of figuring out where you're going to put it to have it, but to be able to utilize everything. So, or the fact that it's a big city. I haven't been to the Indianapolis versions of it. Mm. So I don't know how
I think you'd enjoy that
on the
one.
Field for the media people, but, you know. I think Chicago makes the most sense because it's the easiest for most people to get to with the least amount of hassle. And there really shouldn't be a lot of hassle for an event like this.
In terms of the setting, like if I'm just trying to view it as Radio Row, for example, it's different for reporters. But in Indianapolis, it was all in the same spot. It was all on the field. There was no weird separation. In Chicago, it was You're in the dungeon over here for Radio Row, yep. And then everything else is across the hallway in the bigger. You're not even there. Like, people might walk over, but you don't feel like you're part of the event at all. And I think that's what the event was this weekend as well, was a separation. You were in the main room.
Yeah.
And then everyone else
is. There wasn't that much separation.
By the way.
There wasn't as much separation in Chicago.
That was bad.
Yeah.
That was almost pointless being there in Chicago.
Plus, in Indy, it's where the championship game is.
Absolutely.
It makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that kind of makes sense, too.
I would just leave it in Indy or a different location in
Chicago.
Indy
was unavailable, oddly, because they had a big national church convention of some sort, and there was no – it was unavailable. They couldn't do it.
I don't know.
They couldn't just split the field in half for both the church and the Big Ten.
Well, it was a hotel discussion.
Well, they could find hotels.
No. It was you couldn't do it in Indy.
I don't know if Schaefer heard or Bill heard, but James Franklin was not a fan of Vegas at all for media days.
It made me laugh.
What did he say?
His gist was like, why? Why are we here? You know, we're lost.
No. He said it was lost.
Because it was.
Yeah.
When I heard the national people yesterday, they were like going, they're like, oh man, this was lost.
Yeah, it was
we
lost.
Didn't know it, had no idea.
It was lost.
It's not great when the conversation point about your big event for your conference is that nobody knew that it was going on in the place where it was happening.
Yeah.
And you're the Big Ten.
That's not going to do you a big solid. That's not happening in Atlanta for the SEC.
No, that's what Franklin said, Schaefer. That's exactly what he said. He said the SEC is a huge event, and they
right.
And there's fans.
That's sort of
there.
Always been my contention with it. It's a Big Ten. It was corporate and stuffy forever. The biggest part of it for the longest time was the luncheon that happened.
Right,
that's
a huge
all
luncheon.
They seemed to really care about was the luncheon.
There's no luncheon.
I don't know why anyone else cared about the luncheon.
I love that word luncheon.
Not there lunch. Was no
there
luncheon.
Was a luncheon.
It didn't happen this year.
That's where you're gonna get the cheesecake. Is already gonna be preset when you get to the table.
Yep.
Sybil attended the luncheon. He went to watch Amir Abdullah speak.
I did not.
I did not. You
did not? No,
you
I did.
Skipped the luncheon.
Yeah. I mean, yes.
Wow.
So that's the conversation. You going to the luncheon? I'll see you at the luncheon. You'll be at the luncheon, right?
But it's that not was... a. But Schaefer, it's not a media luncheon, right?
No, but because Amir Abdullah spoke, like half of Nebraska's media attended.
Yeah, I think there's some. Yeah, there was somebody else from the Journal Star that.
Yeah.
Schaefer, quick question. How did you take the loss yesterday of Hulk Hogan?
Oh, yeah, good question.
It was weirdly just sort of shocked me in a way that I was unprepared for. I mean, I know that he was older. I'm sure that...
He's just 71.
71's not that old.
Yeah, right. And the weird thing is when he first came into my collective conscience in like 1997, he already seemed like he was in his 60s because that's what old people looked like to me in 1997. And then you find out, like, at that time, he was only, like, 47 years old.
God.
But he he was wrestling.
Pretty, yeah. Right. And so I know the NWO version of Hulk Hogan probably better than anything else. But certainly as someone who's followed wrestling, when I was a kid and understands the
history in Rocky III.
Like, he was huge. I mean, I don't know that any wrestler and very few athletes will ever have the cultural impact that Hulk Hogan had, certainly in the
Agreed.
80s when everybody was, Hulkamaniacs. And then
Hulkamania,
well into
think
just
about that.
Being a showman
I thought
all
about
the way
it.
Through.
Yeah, he was a showman.
The guy was just rolling on a tour of his, his real American beer or whatever. He was just at Hy-Vee, last spring?
He was in Lincoln last spring. A year ago. One year ago, he was
what
in
was
Lincoln.
What was he doing in Lincoln?
He had a real American beer
promoted
he was unveiling.
His beer.
Yep.
He had all these like little products. It wasn't ever the George Foreman grill, but I had a Hulk Hogan Thunder mixer that I would use to make milk chocolate milk.
You had a Hulk Hogan Thunder mixer? Do you have like Ovaltine? Was it Ovaltine you'd mix it up with?
I would use Nesquik.
It's very good.
Not
Ovaltine.
The
you don't like Ovaltine?
And milk, and then you'd press a button and it would blend it, and it was the best chocolate
milk incredible.
I would have it that I could make. It was great.
Hulkamania.
Schaefer, back in our day, the Nestle's Quick came in it. It was a tin can. You had to pop the lid.
Yes,
you had to.
We were talking about
yes.
that.
Yeah. Oh God!
Did you go strawberry or chocolate? Usually,
it's always chocolate.
Nah,
I never went strawberry.
I did some strawberry.
I changed it up.
Here's the difference: you'd put the strawberry in, immediately sunk. The chocolate would float.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, 100%.
I'd have to.
So the strawberry mixed up easier, but it would settle. But remember sometimes with your chocolate milk, I didn't have the Hulkamania. You get those little chunks of chocolate behind it, which was great, which was a part of the fun.
Oh, okay. How about this? How about this? When mom bought malt, that you could get malt.
Carnation malt.
Yes.
Yes, with the red lid.
Put that in there.
Yeah, that was incredible.
It was like a malt.
Well, you can get Ovaltine malt.
Isn't Ovaltine for older people?
Ovaltine malt with yellow.
Look into this.
Isn't Ovaltine for older people?
No, it's not, Steve. It's for all ages.
Is it all ages?
Ovaltine's for all ages.
It's for all ages.
And it's incredible.
Schaefer, thank you for the time. Congrats on getting your house sold and the move to Omaha coming up here. And we will miss you in
Lincoln.
Schaefer. But you'll still be around, of course.
Yeah, no, I still plan to make appearances if you all have me.
That would be.
You're always welcome, Schaefer.
We'd love to have you, Schaefer. Schaefer, so you're still in Vegas right now?
No, he never went to Vegas.
We never went.
No, I'm in my basement right now.
I thought you went to Vegas.
Didn't go.
He doesn't go to Media Day.
He's against it, didn't go. But he was covering it from afar, so... Schaefer, thanks. We'll see you next week.
It's in his basement.
Mike Schaefer, 24/7 Sports with us. And, always good talking to Schaefer.
Thanks, Schaefer.
The three words you don't want to hear in IT are what, Bill?
I've been hacked.
Don't get hacked with our friends at Applied Connective Technologies. They're in all 93 counties of the state with a 99.6% retention rate. They handle all things IT and cybersecurity. And best part for you, free consultation at Applied Connective.
Expect new information on Monday. I got a text from Will. They had a power meeting, and there's going to be some new information coming out for Monday. And then also, Will and his wife went to Ruhlman's for their anniversary and said it was most incredible. The waiter talked him out of what she ordered, what his wife ordered. Said, don't do that. It's incredible, but do this. Here's the special. And she got the special. It was the best meal she's ever had in her life. That's the kind of...
Will's married.
Yes, Will's married, yes. I believe, and I believe happily. Will, chime in.
That's the first thing we do.
Yes.
Will's married.
That's why the anniversary part came up. Yes, that was that tied in together.
Went to Ruhlman's.
So,
Phil,
where else would you go?
ApplyConnective.com. Before we get to, I guess, on the other side, we have Bill's Throws. Are we doing Dr. Love, Bill? Are you ready for that or not?
Let's just stay with what you had. Jake already had something set. We'll stay with that, then we'll be on. We're back in. Once we hit in, we'll be hitting into August for Dr. Love.
If you want to Dr. Love, we can.
We can do Dr. Love.
Fans text in if we feel like
let's
they're
do Dr. Love.
We kind of jumped it, so
we did.
I want to make sure the fans, if the fans need some support,
yeah.
Third person Dr. Love will show up.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna attempt to do Dr. Love next. If you have any questions about love, relationships, etc., 402-464-5685. Text or call us. That's next on Early Break on the Ticket.
Hey there, are you sitting down? Good, because Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here and you can shop it right from your couch. It's Wayfair's Black Friday in July sale and it's on now. Right now, you can score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Snag outdoor furniture and decor at up to 60% off. Get area rugs for every room at up to 80% off. And refresh your sleep space with up to 60% off bedroom furniture. Plus, score amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals. And get it all with fast and free shipping on everything. Yep, even the big stuff. Right to your door. These are Wayfair's lowest prices of the summer. And did we mention they only last 5 days? So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off Wayfair's biggest sale of the season before it fizzles out. Shop Wayfair's Black Friday and July sale now through July 28th, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile. And you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.